Now, in one of the first special reports we'll cover today, Moody's, the financial ratings organization, Moody's has just slashed credit ratings for 10 banks and has issued a negative outlook on 11 other banks. So we have 21 banks now that are given this new designation. Moody's Investor Service is the official name, and they're kind of like, you know, Fitch or Dun & Bradstreet. And these credit rating services, in my opinion, they wildly overestimate the credit worthiness of, well, number one, the United States government, the Treasury, but also then mainstream banks. I think that these rating services are actually set up to mostly protect the banks, even when those banks present very high risky profiles. For example, in the 2008 subprime mortgage collapse, these banks were given, the banks that were buying all the risky crap, you know, subprime mortgages, they were given very high ratings by Moody's and Fitch and others. And this was even captured in that movie, The Big Short, where they went in and they're like, how can you not downrate these financial instruments or these banks when they're heavily invested in these losing mortgages and so on? Well, you know, and as the gal said in the movie, hey, if we don't give them the rating they want, they'll just go down the street to the next agency and they'll get a financial rating that they want. So it actually takes a lot for Moody's or Fitch or anybody like that to downgrade bank ratings. Banks have to be in real trouble in order to receive a downgraded rating from Moody's. So the firms that have been hit with the ratings cut, and again, the mainstream media is not going to talk about this hardly at all. Maybe on CNBC you'll see a story about this, but almost nowhere else. Here it is. M&T Bank Corp, Webster Financial Corp, BOK Financial Corp, Old National Bank Corp, Pinnacle Financial Partners, Inc., Fulton Financial Corp. Downgrades are under possible review for Northern Trust Company and Cullen Frost Bankers, Inc. And then a negative outlook was issued for 11 organizations, including the following: PNC Financial Services Group, Capital One Financial Corp., Citizens Financial Group, Inc., Fifth Third Bank Corp., that's a funny name, Regions Financial Corp., Ally Financial, Inc., and Bank OZK, and Huntington Bank Shares, Inc. So understand, too, that the United States of America, the government, was issued a down rating of its debt from AAA to AA. You know, that happened just, what, last week, I believe. And so what's with all the down ratings? Well, this is about the cascading collapse of the Western financial system. So the collapse that's coming is going to be so enormous that none of these banks will likely survive. The entire Western financial system, as we know it, will be wiped out. And so will the dollar. And one day, in retrospect, it will be seen that these credit rating agencies or these bank rating agencies are just a joke. They never tell you the full story of what's actually coming, because they can't. Because the Western financial system it's a kind of a Ponzi scheme. People have to have faith in the system in order for the system to continue to function. And by having faith in it, that means that they can't really allow anybody to see the reality of how vulnerable they are. They can't allow people to take their money out. Because if people take their money out, then of course the system collapses even more rapidly, because that's all that's propping it up, is people who are gullible enough to keep their money in the system. Now, as you know, I've been working to get money out of the fiat currency banking system and into three things: gold, silver, and crypto. And in crypto, specifically privacy coins. That is, coins that are private, where no one can see your balance, no one can see your transactions, no one can confiscate your wallet. And as I've said many times now, the thing that these three things have in common, gold, silver, and crypto, is that they all offer you self-custody. So you have custody, you are in control, you're the one who gets to make decisions about what to do with those funds or those assets. And importantly, no one can stop you. With banks, however, they can always stop you. Banks can fail. Banks can have bail-ins. And believe me, that day is coming. Just listen to Jim Rickards on this point, for example. Talks about ICE 9, where the banks all freeze and it's a cascading freeze that spreads from one bank to another. So yeah, that scenario is coming. And in that scenario, you won't have access to your own funds because they're held by the bank or they're held in, let's say, a brokerage. If you are a member of, let's say, you know, Fidelity or Charles Schwab or some brokerage service like that, then you have money in their system. And if they freeze their system and they disallow withdrawals, then you won't be able to get your money out. For example, right now, there are a lot of real estate investment trusts, or REITs, as they're called, R-E-I-T. And BlackRock, I believe, has a very large REIT. And real estate investment trusts are a trust where people hand over their assets and say, here, you know, put this money into real estate and then just pay me an annual dividend on the real estate earnings or increased valuations and so on. And then people normally are allowed to cash out of these REITs anytime they want. You can take your money out. But several REITs have halted withdrawal requests because they can't offload the properties, specifically commercial properties. They can't sell them. They're not liquid because there are no buyers or virtually no buyers, and especially there are no buyers at the normal asking price. There may be buyers at 40% off, 50% off, 60% off. There were some buildings that recently sold, I believe in Philadelphia, some big commercial high-rise buildings that sold for something like 67% less than what they sold for just a couple of years ago. So the commercial real estate industry has collapsed, which means the REITs are collapsing and people can't withdraw money out of the REITs. So think about this, folks. Think about this. You handed your money over to a real estate investment trust. They promised to make you money and they promised to be able to let you have your money when you asked for it. Now, not only are they losing your money because commercial real estate's not going up, they're losing your money and you can't have it. Think about how crazy that is. And given the bank failures that have already happened and the risk in the financial system today versus the alternatives, which is gold, silver, and crypto, you'd have to be bonkers to hand over your money today to, frankly, any bank, any CD, any, you know, T-bills or any, I don't know, REITs or whatever, or brokerage accounts or anything. You'd be crazy when you can have possession of your own money so that you can do with it what you wish. And possession is, again, gold, silver, crypto. It's also real estate. It's also, you know, the things I talk about, firearms, ammunition, stored food, things that have real world value. And the nice thing about silver is that it's very easy to trade with locally. People recognize silver. Lots of people want silver. Silver's a pretty nice local universal coin. The nice thing about gold is it's extremely valuable. You can put about $2,000 in a 1 ounce coin. And you can carry those coins from one place to another as needed. I'm not saying to walk around with them, like jingling gold coins in your pocket, not a great idea. But if you needed to move them, they're pretty portable. And then the great thing about crypto is it's even more portable. You can have essentially unlimited value, even billions of dollars, in a wallet where you simply remember the password or you have the seed phrase recorded somewhere in a super secret, super safe place, maybe even encoded in a special kind of way. And then you can move those enormous sums of money in crypto by simply having the wallet in your head, essentially. Or you could, if you wish, you could transfer ownership of the wallet to somebody else by giving them the seed phrase. And so it's a way to store assets and also to move them, to make them very portable without having to physically move anything that's actual, you know, real world stuff like gold coins. And by the way, you know, Bitcoin is very, very liquid. Bitcoin, I don't know the size of the total size of the trading, but I think it's over $1 billion a day. Pretty sure it is. I think it's a few billion dollars a day. That is massively liquid. You can buy and sell Bitcoin without causing any perturbations in the prices of the marketplace. You can buy and sell Bitcoin with incredible liquidity because there are so many other counterparties that are buying and selling for all kinds of different reasons. So if you get into Bitcoin and you ever want to get out of Bitcoin, it is incredibly simple, fast. You could sell $1 million in 1 minute if you want to. And that's not true with most other coins. Bitcoin has very high liquidity. And in the privacy marketplace, the highest liquid cryptocurrency is Monero. Monero is very liquid too. In fact, I'm looking at coinmarketcap.com, which is a great website for looking at all the statistics of all the cryptos. And Monero, it's showing me that in the last 24 hours, there's over $81 million of Monero that's bought and sold. So $81 million of buying and selling in 24 hours. So if you needed to offload even $1 million of Monero, you could do that easily in an hour if you wanted to, or a few hours if you wanted to spread it out. The point is that Monero has very high market cap, and that makes it very liquid. It's very easy to get in and out of something that has a high market cap. Now, another privacy coin known as Firo, F-I-R-O, which is a lot smaller than Monero, but it's still, over 24 hours, it's got a market trading volume of $372,000 is what I'm seeing here. So that's still quite a bit. So if you assume that even only half of that is buying and half of it's selling, you know, it's what, over $180,000 buying or selling. So if you needed to get in and out of Firo even, it's doable without moving the market too much because there's good, healthy daily volume. But again, Monero is even bigger, and then Bitcoin is the biggest of all. And there are other non-privacy coins such as Litecoin that have, you know, very healthy daily trading volumes as well. But getting in and out of crypto is in many ways even easier than getting in and out of gold. But then again, gold has other key advantages, such as the fact that it's physical, it's on the table of elements, you know, it's not going to disappear. It works when the power grid is down. It's universally recognized as having value by every culture in the world. You know, nobody has to download a wallet to accept gold, you know, things like that. So gold has its advantages, but offloading gold is a more tedious process than offloading crypto. You know, you have to contact a gold buyer, and then the gold buyer has to give you a price and lock it in, and then you have to ship the gold, and you have to insure it. You know, you have to make sure it's packed in a very specific way, and then the buyer receives the gold, and then they inspect it, and then they can run tests too. They have a lot of tests to test for counterfeit gold and all these things, and then they can give you the credit for the gold, you know, usually in fiat. Sometimes they would wire money to you, so then you got to use the banking system, the wiring system, which doesn't work on Saturdays and Sundays, you know, right, or evenings. And so there are all kinds of issues where if I'm sending somebody Monero, let's say I'm just using an online platform like Kraken, I send Kraken a bunch of Monero and I sell it on the platform, it's instantly converted, or within seconds or minutes, let's say, or almost instantly converted into fiat. And Kraken doesn't have to run tests on the Monero to see if it's real or counterfeit or stolen Bitcoin or you know, or stolen coins, whatever, because Monero is a privacy coin. So in privacy coins, it's always fungible all the time. Every coin is the same as every other coin. There's no history of any coin, unlike with Bitcoin, where there's a history of the coins. you know, every coin can be traced back to where it originated, and it might have gone through, you know, some the Silk Road or some illegal exchanges or something like that. So this is what you've got to be aware of. Selling privacy coins does not have the risk of selling Bitcoin, which is that somebody could look at the history of your Bitcoins and say, oh, we don't like the history. When it comes to privacy coins, there is no history. And so there's no checking history. And so merchants can easily accept privacy coins without worrying about the risk of where did these coins come from. And that's the way cash operates, by the way. Cash has been like, you know, privacy currency for all these years. And if you go into a hardware store and you pay for something with a $100 bill, the clerk there doesn't ask you, hey, where did this $100 come from? Was this $100 used in a drug deal? Was it used in a payoff? Was it used to smoke crack? Was it used, you know, to hire a hitman? Nobody's asking that. Why? There's no way to know. $100 bills are fungible. It's one of the things that makes them, you know, currently usable. And privacy crypto is fungible in the same way. So when you're thinking about banks and crypto and assets and being able to move in and out and portability and all of these things, make sure you choose vehicles that will allow you to move in and out quickly, efficiently, without roadblocks. And as far as I can tell, the best three things are gold and silver and crypto. If you know of something better, let me know. But by the way, banks are not on that list, and I can't personally imagine ever going back to banks and saying, here, bank, I want to deposit my money with you. Why don't you keep it safe, and you just safeguard my money for me? I mean, that used to be the function of banks, right? Banks, you know, they've got the vault. Some banks have safe deposit boxes, and you would trust the bank to protect your assets. You would trust the bank to be insured. You would trust the bank to have good security. You would trust that the bank would honor its obligation to you and wouldn't just loot all the customer accounts. But I don't know anybody who trusts the banks like that anymore. I don't trust the banks like that. I can't think of a single offer that a mainstream bank could make to me right now that would convince me to give them my money. You know, a bank could come along and say, oh, well, we have a debit card for you. So what? I don't need your stinky debit card if I'm paying in Monero or Bitcoin or whatever, or cash or silver coins. Okay, well, we'll give you a credit card. I don't need a credit card from your bank. Okay, well, we'll give you 5% interest. How about that? You deposit money, we'll give you 5% interest. Really? 5% less than inflation? So I'm losing money if I deposit it in your bank, because inflation is over 10% right now. Inflation is usually double or more of what the official numbers are. And in some areas, such as food, you know, it's way over 25% annually right now, especially in meat products and so on. So I can't think of anything a bank could say to me that would be compelling to make me want to part with my money and hand it over to them and lose custody of the money. Can you? Is there anything really compelling? Oh, you'll be able to send wires. Okay, well, I can already send crypto from my wallet. I don't even need your bank to send crypto. And then I say, well, we'll keep your money safe. Nobody can steal it. Well, nobody can steal my crypto wallet either. It's an offline cold storage wallet. No one's stealing anything out of that. And by the way, I'm pretty sure your bank has been hacked a few times over the years, and you lost some deposits over at Wells Fargo. And people were wondering, you know, where's my money? And cryptocurrencies don't prevent you from using them, whereas banks are constantly preventing you from using them. It's like, oh, you want to take out money? Oh, that's too much. You can't do that. You can't use this for taking out money. Oh, you want to wire money? Oh, that's too much. Oh, you want to use the ATM? Sorry, too much. Like, well, what is your bank for? Well, you can deposit unlimited amounts, one-way ticket. It's like a roach motel. The roaches check in, but they don't check out. The same thing with your money. Your money checks in, but it doesn't check out. So if all of that appeals to you, hey, let's hand over assets to an untrustworthy institution that might just steal everything one day or declare force majeure or whatever, and they might have a giant bail-in, or they might loot the safe deposit boxes or whatever they have in mind, then yeah, hand over your money to that institution. And just expect it to be gone. As Robert Kiyosaki told me in an interview the other day, he doesn't trust the financial system. He doesn't trust the currency. He doesn't trust anything that governments can print. And they can print more money. You better believe it. They can print more money. And they will print more money, which means your money is going to become worthless. So just keeping it in the currency of the dollar is kind of a suicide mission. Anyway, the banks are being downgraded now. That's the big news here today. The United States government has been downgraded, and this is just the beginning. More bank failures will happen this year. They are on the way. We saw one a couple of Fridays ago, a smaller one, but larger ones are coming, or more mid-sized banks are coming. And the financial system of the United States of America, indeed Western finance, is on its last legs. The losses that are coming will be absolutely epic. So prepare accordingly. Thank you for all your support, by the way. And if you'd like to support us, visit healthrangerstore.com, where we offer certified organic, lab-tested foods, superfoods, long-term storable survival foods, as well as nutritional supplements, first aid items made with Texas rainwater, and seven essential oils with colloidal silver. Really powerful stuff. Great toothpaste, personal care products, laundry, all of it completely free of artificial or synthetic fragrances. We are meticulous about our ingredients, and almost everything that we have like that in that category is formulated by us meticulously. I mean, we go through ingredient by ingredient, and we don't use anything that is toxic to aquatic life or toxic to you as the user of the product. So check us out again, healthrangerstore.com, and we appreciate your support.